To the Lord, John chapter 4, reading a passage about the nobleman who is concerned about his son. His son was not well, and in fact, in danger of passing from this life. And so it motivated him to come to the Lord. He didn't wait for the Lord to pass by his place in a convenient manner. He desperately went seeking the Lord. Thank God. And there's a desperation in our hearts, a desperation in our actions. The Lord doesn't ignore it. He ministers and he blesses. Praise God. John 4, beginning at verse 49. Let's do it this way. I'll read one verse and you read the next, okay? The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. You read 50.
Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word of Jesus spoken unto him, and he went his way.
And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. So the father knew that it was the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Praise God. I want to share with you here for a few minutes a word from home. A word from home. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's going to tell us a word from home. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. You may recall, if you were away at college, how nice it was to receive a letter in the mail, especially if it had a check or some green paper in it. That always came in handy when you were away at college. Maybe you were serving in the military in a foreign land overseas, and all that was familiar to you from home is a long, long ways away. And it was so good to get a letter from home, word from home. Maybe you were working away in another state, maybe even another country. And the mail took a long time, but you were glad to receive mail. Praise God. And thank the Lord for a word from home. If you were in the hospital and you were just looking at four walls and a ceiling, bedfast, it was nice to get that word from home. Now, with modern communication and the media that has so many ways to stay in touch, I suppose it's old-fashioned to use emails and texts anymore. There are so many other ways to stay in touch. Skype and FaceTime, where you can actually see somebody. It's nice to have the phone ring and the image of Brother and Sister Eichard come up on the screen, and there we are, talking to them. They're in Africa, and we're here in Alaska, but we can see them, and we talk back and forth. Amazing. Facebook, Instagram, all of the modern technology, a word from home that is so nice, but the good old care packages that came with sweets and treats and so on. Just, you can't send that by media. Just good to get that word from home. Sometimes we may wonder why it may take a while for the Lord to respond. It may take a while for the Lord to seemingly provide his answer. Another situation where a child was sick, a child was on her deathbed, In Luke chapter 8, a ruler in the synagogue named Jairus had a daughter, his only daughter, who was 12 years old, and she was not well at all, in danger, in fact, of dying. He came seeking Jesus. And when he found him, he fell at his feet. He made no bones about it, as the saying goes, of how his desperation drove him to walk a great distance and finally locate Jesus. And finding him, fell at his feet and besought him that he would come to his house, that he would return on the journey and heal his daughter. His daughter was sick and dying, his only daughter. And perhaps every step that he took, every mile that he journeyed, he would refresh his memory of how wonderful it was to have that daughter born into their home. What a refreshing she was. What a blessing she was. And every year that passed, every birthday they celebrated again was so very special. But now it seemed like she was not going to make her 13th birthday. It seemed like at every breath that she struggled to take and every moment that went by that she lay sick in her bed, that it was going to be her last. And so Jairus would make that journey. He would go that distance, and he would make that effort because she was so precious to him. But while Jesus agreed to come and pray for his daughter, there was a delay. A woman who suffered for 12 years, the irony that was there, 12 years with an ailment that made her weak, an ailment that caused her to spend all of her money, but yet a cure was beyond her reach. She was not able to find a cure for her ailment. But she decided, in her weakened condition, in a place where she had no one to help her, no one to make known her request, no one to step forth before Jesus and plead her case, she decided, in the midst of the crowd, in the press of the group that was there surrounding the Lord, she was going to reach out and just touch the hem of his garment. That's all she needed. She didn't need a handshake. She didn't need a face-to-face time with the Lord. She didn't need him to put his hand upon her head. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. That was her desperation. That was the degree of her faith. And then we recognize in the scripture how she achieved her goal, and immediately she was healed. Jesus stopped. He turned and looked at the crowd. His disciples, and especially Jairus, were saying in their minds, what are we stopping for? We've got to hurry. There's an urgent need. There's a situation that may result in death if we delay. Come on, we can't stop. We've got to keep going. But Jesus stopped and looked at the crowd and inquired, who touched me? His disciples were incredulous. There's a crowd around you, Lord. They're all pushing and shoving. They all want to look at you. They all want to hear you. What do you mean? Who touched you? And the woman stepped forth. The woman who was healed. The woman who no longer had a hemorrhaging condition. The woman who had touched the hem of his garment by her faith and was healed in that moment. Praise God. She stepped forward, and she didn't know if it was going to be condemnation. She didn't know if it was going to be a reprimand. She didn't know if she was going to be criticized, but she stepped forward. And the next words she heard were so beautiful, because the Lord said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Thank God that the hand of the Lord is able to minister not only from the outside and all the physical needs, but he can minister to the emotional needs. He can minister to the spiritual needs. He can minister to the mental needs. Thank God for the power of the Lord that we be displayed in that area. Praise God. And we know he called her daughter, because he's the everlasting Father. He's the Almighty God. Hallelujah. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the wonderful Counselor. Praise God. And I'm thankful that he would demonstrate his power on her behalf. Jairus, no doubt, standing there with mixed emotions, glad for the woman, happy for her healing, but so worried about his daughter. Come on, we've got to hurry. No more delays, please. We've got to hurry. My daughter is about to die. Jesus continued the journey with Jairus. And then, a word from home. Not what he expected. Not what he had hoped for. Words that were concise. Words that were not making the message easier. Just, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master anymore. And oh, how crushing that must have been. How difficult it was for him to absorb those words, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. And oh, thank God, in the next few moments, in the next few hours, however long it took for them to go from that place to Jairus' home, they would learn that death is no trouble for the master. Praise God. Sickness is no trouble for the master. Thank God. He's able to do the work. He's able to provide. And thank God, Jesus gave a word. He had a devastating word from home, but Jesus gave him a word. Fear not. Believe. She shall be made whole. Hallelujah. And so Jairus continued the journey with Jesus. Jesus was purposeful, but Jairus was tearful. Jairus was fearful, wondering what is going to happen. Are my eyes going to see? How is my wife faring? What is taking place there at home? When they reached the house, the parents and the disciples went in, but Jesus sent the scorners. Jesus sent the mockers out. If you want to see the hand of God at work, there's got to be faith within your heart. If you want to see the hand of God displayed, there's got to be a desire to reach out for him and his divine purpose to be fulfilled. Thank God the Lord had the answer. He took the hand of the dead girl and simply said, "Maid, arise." And the Bible says, straightway, she arose, hallelujah, and her parents were astonished. Put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their place. Oh, it would be beyond astonishment. It would be beyond amazement. Praise God. What an understatement. His parents were astonished. I think they were beside themselves. I think they were hugging one another. I think they grabbed a hold of their daughter and danced about in that room. I think they ran screaming about the goodness of God and his power and his blessing. I don't think they were silent. I don't think that anybody could shut them up. Oh, they were thrilled. They were excited. They were blessed because God would do that work. Praise God. Delay or no delay, the Lord stepped in with his divine power. Word from the home of Mary and Martha came to Jesus. Lazarus is sick. Please come, heal. Jesus delayed. Sometimes we can't understand the delay. Sometimes we in our finite mind, we can't figure out what God's doing. Our time frame is different than his. Our schedule is more immediate than his. He thinks in terms of eternity. We look at the now. We're wondering about our time now. But Jesus delayed 2 days. And in that space of time, Lazarus died. Even though Jesus said to his disciples, this sickness is not unto death. And now Lazarus is dead. Did they recall that? Did they question? Did they wonder? Did they perhaps ask why among themselves? I thought he said it's not unto death. And now Lazarus is dead. He's been 4 days in the grave. But Jesus went to the sisters, Mary and Martha. He assured them, thy brother shall rise again. They said, Lord, we know he's going to rise again in the last days. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Praise God. And then a very short two words that would describe so much about our God. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He knows what it feels like to have the tears coursing down your cheeks. He knows what it feels like to have that pain and that grieving and to sense that loss. He saw them weeping and crying. He observed the mourners, and the Bible says he groaned in his spirit. He heard the comments of people saying, he opened the eyes of the blind. He did those works. Couldn't he have prevented this man from dying? He heard those questions. He heard the implied criticism, and he groaned again. And then Jesus led the way to the cave grave. Praise God. I'm thankful he knows where we are. I'm thankful he's walking with us. I'm thankful he doesn't leave us nor forsake us. I'm glad he's there in our situations. Amen. Being our sufficiency, when we're not sufficient in ourselves, he is there to minister. He is there to provide. And then Jesus commanded action. I'm thankful it wasn't there just to weep and to groan. I'm thankful he wasn't there just to commiserate and to comfort. Thank God he commanded action. Take away the stone. They were reluctant to, understandably. 4 days in the grave, and there would be a terrible odor. But he said, you're going to see the glory of God. Take away the stone. And then he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, he that was dead came forth. Praise God. Oh, what incredible power. And what an amazing expression on the face of Mary and Martha as they behold their brother that they had said goodbye to, that they had cried over, that they had prepared for burial. They wrapped his body. They put the napkin on his face, and here he comes out of that tomb. And Jesus again commanded, loose him and let him go. Oh, thank God. Our God does such a great work. There's such a wonderful power that he displays that there's not going to be any evidence of the former life. There's not going to be anything that would hold you back. You can step into new life. You can step into new power. You can step into the blessings that God has in store for you through the power of his name and through the blessing of his spirit. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Delay or no delay. Hallelujah. A word from home that they didn't want to give, but Jesus gave it. Now, this nobleman that we read about in John 4, his journey was from Capernaum to Cana. You look at the map, and it looks like a short distance. And in our modern age, in our modern time, it would seem like, 20 miles or so. Here to Kenai or whatever it might be, no problem. We can make that journey. It won't take long at all. But for them, it was an effort. It was a sacrifice. It was a distance to travel that way. But he sought Jesus to come and heal his son, who as well at the point of death. He desperately said to the Lord, Sir, come down ere my child die. If we could just hear the desperation, if we could just sense the tears, if we could hear the choked voice and understand he was pleading, he was desperate, he was begging the Lord to come and heal his son. Jesus answered, go thy way. I wonder if he thought he was being dismissed. I wonder if he thought there was no help for him, that there was nothing that could be done. Go thy way. But Jesus finished the statement. You got to keep listening to hear the rest. Amen. You don't just take the first few words of the Lord. You let him finish. You let him make his statement. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Praise God. Go thy way, thy son liveth. There was something about what he said. There was something about the way he said it. There was something that gripped the heart of the nobleman, and he believed. Amen. Thy son liveth. Praise God. What hope, what joy, what rejoicing. Oh, yes. His step back home was a little bit faster and a little bit lighter than when he had journeyed with heaviness and sorrow in his heart, in expectation that a word from home was going to be his son had died. And oh, now he is on his way home, and he recognizes on the road in the crowd there are servants from his house, and they're bringing him a word from home. Hallelujah. They have the report, the same few words that Jesus spoke. Thy son liveth. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God we can hear what the Lord desires to impart unto our life. Life is cruel. Life is unfair. There are so many things that happen, but I want to hear the voice of my Savior. I want to hear the voice of my God. I want to know the life that He imparts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And there was just a curiosity in that father's heart. There was just a wondering that he had to satisfy. What hour did he begin to mend? When did you notice him improving? When did the situation change? They said yesterday, which gives us an idea of how far he had to travel. Yesterday at the seventh hour. And he remembered, that's the same time that Jesus said, thy son liveth. Oh, praise God. I'm thankful for a word from home that the Lord can give. Hallelujah. That would result in believing. That nobleman believed and his household believed. You keep holding on for your loved ones. You keep believing God for his touch. Amen. You don't think that the Lord is going to ignore you. He will step in the hour of desperation. He will be there in the hour of your need. Hallelujah. And he will do a work that will strengthen your faith and also reach out to your household and also grab a hold of those that you hold dear and you desire that the hand of God would be displayed on their behalf. Oh, thank God for the power of the Lord. And I prophesy today, God is doing a work in your household. God is doing a work in your family. God is reaching out to those that you love and hold dear. You believe him. You believe him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The centurion had his servant who was deathly ill, paralyzed. He sought the Lord. A centurion, a Roman, used to being in charge, used to giving commands, used to having his way and the situation resolving to his satisfaction. But now here's a situation he has no control over. And Matthew 8 records the story of him coming in verse 6. Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Those words cannot paint the picture adequately of what he was going through and how difficult it was for the centurion who was strong and able and healthy and fit. And how he could not do a thing for his servant. And so he came to the Lord. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. How many of us in a hospital room would have loved to have heard that? How many of us in a nursing home with our loved ones would have loved to hear the Lord say, I will come and heal. But this centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. He related some aspects of authority, how he understood authority and how the Lord had the authority. And he said, speak the word only. My servant shall be healed. Jesus marveled at his faith. Marveled at his faith. He didn't have a heritage. He didn't have a background. He didn't have a legacy. There was nothing that would cause him to recognize the Lord is the God of all things and power. He simply believed. And Jesus marveled at his faith. Praise God. He said to the centurion, verse 13, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So he's on his way back. Amen. And word from home. Your servant's healed. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Now, we don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss out on what God has for us. The young man in Luke 15 who is called the prodigal gathered all and then spent all. Lost it. Lost his virtue. Lost his reputation. Lost everything, thinking he was having a good time. Living it up with his friends. Until he ran out of money, and lo and behold, he ran out of friends too, same time. Interesting how there's sometimes a connection there. You got to have true friends. You got to have right friends. The famine hit. He began to be in want. The only job he could find was slopping pigs. The only place he could live was in the pig pen. Very sad, sad situation. How long he lived there, how long he withstood the conditions, I don't know. But the Bible says he came to himself. He understood, he recognized, he realized, this is dumb. What am I doing here? My dad's servants have way more than I have right now. I'm going back home. I'm going back home. I will arise and go to my father. He probably didn't know what word he was going to get from home. What kind of reception? A welcome or a rejection? He didn't know. But he hoped. And he made his way back. Praise God. And oh, the words that he heard when he returned. The works that were done for him, the clothing and the finery, the food and the celebration. How amazing, how incredible. Praise God. He was so glad he made his way home. The stink of the pig pen was gone. The smells from the kitchen, his fine clothes, his beautiful mother, his loving father. Oh, I'm so glad I made it home. The elder son, working in the field, heard the music, heard the dancing, approached the home but didn't go in. The servant told him, your brother has come home safe and sound. Interesting how we find phrases in our culture, in our society, that right from the Word of God, safe and sound. Praise God. The elder son became angry. He wouldn't enter the house. Instead, he compared himself to his brother. I serve, he squanders. Then he looked at the results. He comes home and they kill the fatted calf and celebrate. I return from working in the fields and not even a little goat is provided for me. And he's all caught up in this turmoil. But then he hears a word from home. His father says, all that I have is thine. See how often the devil tries to lie to you? How often the devil tries to hold you back? How often his deceit is there's no power for you, there's no healing for you, there's no forgiveness for you. No, you've gone too far, you've stepped beyond, you've gone over the line. The devil is a liar. And our Father welcomes us home. Hallelujah. His loving arms reaches out to us again. He clothes us in righteousness. He removes the stink of our past and of the world. Hallelujah. And welcomes us into his presence where there is celebration. Thank God for those who repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Praise God. And the message is, all that I have is thine. Praise God. Celebrate like it's a resurrection. Your brother was dead and he's alive again. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And there's word from our eternal home. John's Revelation, 22 chapters, end time events, three sets of sevens, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls of judgment, the revelation of Jesus. John is so enthralled with the Lord, he includes in his gospel 15 I am statements, or statements relative to the I am of Jesus. 15 of them he writes in his gospel. In Revelation that John wrote, there's 16 I am statements and titles and names of the Lord. He's just enthralled with the Lord. It is a revelation of how great Jesus is. Amen. He hears the announcement about the marriage supper, the alleluias that are rolling forth in such a great way, the voices of a great multitude and many waters and mighty thunderings, and how they're proclaiming the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Praise God. And the angelic voice is saying, let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife hath made herself ready. How do you get ready for that? It's very simple. It's a repentance. Just like that young man in the pig pen, realizing, I blew it. I messed up. I've made mistakes upon mistakes. I'm going back home. That desire for forgiveness from the Lord, he doesn't withhold it. He doesn't play games. He extends his forgiveness on those who ask for repentance and come to him in repentance. Praise God. And in the powerful name of Jesus that we're baptized in, and it washes away every stain of sin. And we open our hearts to receive this Holy Ghost, and the power of God comes in, just like William received it on Friday night and five others. Praise God. Oh, yes. The power of God that comes through and a mighty and wonderful way, and we live in that power. Praise God. And the Bible says, Revelation 19 and 10, I fell at his feet to worship him. And the word from home came, our eternal home. See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. I'm one that made it. I'm one that obeyed the words. I kept the testimony of Jesus. Here's what you need to do. Worship God. Worship God. Hallelujah. Amen. John was carried away in the spirit at another time. He had the revelation of the celestial city. He saw the 12 gates. He saw the 12 foundations. He saw his name on the foundation. Praise God. There had to be a hallelujah breakdown for him at that point. Praise God. Oh, the river of life, the tree of life, all that he saw displayed in such a wonderful way. And again, he fell down to worship what he thought was an angel. In Revelation 22 and 9, he said, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren, the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. A word from home is keep worshiping God. Keep obeying the word. Keep being fellow servants with one another. Hallelujah. Thank God. The power of the Lord would be displayed again and again. Oh, yes. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus said. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. They have the right to the tree of life that they enter in through the gates of the city. Praise God. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve didn't obey. They were ushered out of that garden with an angel with a flaming sword. Thank God when you use the flaming sword, the word of God, to defeat the devil, you can enter into the gates of that city and you have the right to the tree of life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for his power. Amen. 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 Praise God. Now let's just imagine here. Just imagine. Only a few more minutes. Imagine a word from those who have made it, just like John encountered twice. A word from someone who made it home. Just imagine now. A year ago, Good Friday, Brother Denny, my father-in-law, went home to be with the Lord. Imagine what he'd have to say, Brother Steve. Imagine how he would encourage, be faithful, pray and fast, give to the work of God, stay true to the truth, keep walking in the Spirit. There's a few years to go through trials and tests, he may say, but eternity with Jesus is by far the best. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise God. A year ago yesterday, my sister Georgina breathed her last upon this earth. But just a few days before that, she allowed the Holy Ghost to breathe into her soul. Hallelujah. And she spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Just a soft, quiet way. Amen. The cancer that was in her body and had reduced her just a tiny amount of weight that she had normally had, weak, lying in her bed, but talking in tongues as the Spirit of God came upon her. What would she say? I'm so thankful for prayers. I'm so thankful for testimonies. I'm so thankful for a merciful God. I'm so thankful I was baptized in the name of Jesus 44 years ago. And the Lord didn't let me go. The Lord kept reaching out to me. The Lord kept holding on to me. And now he filled me with his Spirit so that I can enter into his home. Amen. Just over a month ago, Brother Denny went to be with the Lord. What would his word from home be? It's worth every effort. It's worth all the time. All the work that you do from God, for God, even when you're supposed to be retired, you keep working for the Lord. It's worth it. It's worth it. Hallelujah. Stay faithful, family. We're going to be together again. Stay faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just over a couple of weeks ago or so, Sister Ross went to be with the Lord. 54 years ago, she moved to Alaska with her husband, with her kids, to help the Frenches. Lots of battles she could relate. Lots of blessings she could testify about. And now she's moved to that heavenly home. And she said, you know what? There really are no tears here. There really is no sorrow. There really is no crying. There's no pain. There's no death. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Don't fall back. Don't slip away. Don't become cold in your spirit. Hold on. It's worth it. It's worth it. And oh, so many more. So many more. If we had a word from home that would let us know how wonderful, how fantastic, how beautiful it is in that heavenly home. Praise God. Don't stop. Don't turn around. Amen. Keep going with the Lord. Stand with me now, please. I'm thankful that we can listen for the shout. We can listen for the voice. We can listen for the trump of God. And that's going to be the signal we're out of here. Hallelujah. Into his presence forever. Oh, the dead in Christ will rise first. Praise God. How powerful and wonderful And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a tremendous hope. Praise God. Just think of meeting him in the air. All the cares of life left behind. All the weight and difficulties we've dropped off. We're rising to meet him. Praise God. Not for a short vacation, not for a brief time, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. I want to make sure I make it. I'm going to make sure nothing holds me back. I'm going to keep walking with the Lord in obedience to his word. So thankful that years ago, I let my sins be covered by his precious name in the waters of baptism. Hallelujah. I received his spirit, and I received it again, and I received it again. Hallelujah. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to keep giving you his power. He wants to keep giving you his presence. Hallelujah. Not something that just happened one time, but over and over he wants to do that. Praise God. And then we're ready to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you close your eyes for just a moment now? I want you to imagine that moment. That moment in time when we do hear the shout and the voice and the trump. When we do recognize the dead in Christ are rising. And then it's our turn. And it's all going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How are you going to feel? How are you going to rejoice? What's the thrill going to feel like to be in the presence of the Lord and all those who have gone on before? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. To be ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your desire is to be ready. I want you to come and stand here in this altar, kneel, sit, whatever you need to do. But let the Lord know, I'm going to be ready, Lord. I'm determined. I'm determined I'm going to be ready. Whatever I have to do, Lord, I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to obey your word. You want me to be baptized in your name? I'll get baptized in your name. Praise God. And that water's warm right now. It's ready for you. Praise God. Oh, yes, his name, his blood takes care of our past, takes care of our sin, takes care of that load. Yes, yes. Baptized in his wonderful name. And then we open up our hearts to receive of his spirit. Speaking in a language we didn't understand, that we don't know. Making sounds that doesn't even sound like a language. That's the Spirit of God coming within. Come on, let it happen again. Let it happen again.